hundreds of denominations that would say that and that would say claim the Bible as their final authority. That's what they would say. What does the Bible teach about itself? Well, the Bible teaches that it is the special inspired revelation of God to which we should cherish, read, and study and memorize it. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, you probably all know this by heart, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is God's special revelation, revealing truth, the design, the plan of God, and it's the revelation we have divine. When I read my Bible, I'm in relationship with God. But the final authority for the disciple is the personal revelation of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God. The Bible is sufficient to bring us to Christ. And we read that in John 5:38 when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He said, John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures because you would think in them you have eternal life. These are they who bear witness of me, yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. The scriptures are extremely important, preserved. Actually, I hold a very, very elevated view of the scriptures. But how, when I approach this book, when I approach these writings, when I approach this inspired, preserved word of God, when I approach this precious holy book, and I hold it in my hand, and I read through its pages, and I meditate on its words, and I cherish every minute of it, I always have to read it through the lens of Jesus. That's, again, it's called a Christocentric hermeneutic. And because I'm reading through the Bible through this lens of Jesus, everything I understand, and from my background, from evangelicalism, the most prominent understanding of faith is, it's something called dispensationalism. I'm not going to go too far into it. But it's the idea that we are now under the age of grace. You've heard that age of grace, the church age, all that. And ultimately what it ends up doing is often separates out Jesus' teachings from the rest of the New Testament. We ought never to do that. We ought to start with the teachings of Jesus, and from that cornerstone of Jesus' life and teachings, understand how the apostles wrote. And understand that they started there too. Paul did not write to supersede Jesus. Paul wrote from the foundation of Jesus' life and teachings. So the final authority for the disciple of Jesus is the personal revelation of God in Jesus Christ. So the scriptures are sufficient to bring us to Christ. But then Jesus is authoritative to interpret everything the Bible says. Jesus, when he would teach, they said, he teaches as one who has authority. Jesus is the one who's authoritative to interpret everything we read in the Bible. And I'm going to turn to John here real quick. John 1. I was answering a pastor who was, he was coming up to me in regards to the scripture. He goes, but John, all the scriptures are theonoustos. It's one Greek word we all know. God breathed, okay, inspired. All the scriptures are theonoustos. When I was in college, John, the red words have no more weight than the black words. So the black words hold just as much weight as the red words. So you can't just elevate the red words. I disagree, and here's why. In John 1, verses 17 and 18, we read, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only Son who's at the Father's side has made him known. Now, let me go through this. So the law came through Moses, and two things come through Jesus, grace and truth. And the way we would have understood it, we would always go to Paul for understanding of grace, but Jesus was grace personified, and he was truth personified. They came through Jesus Christ. And then he makes his claim in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only Son, or the only begotten Son, the only brought forth Son, who is at the Father's side, or in the Father's presence, or in the Father's bosom, has made him known, or has declared him. The word there means he's expounded him. He's revealed who he is. And if Jesus, being in the most personal form and kind of for us to be able to understand who God is, revealed God to us in a way that we could see, touch, and feel. When John wrote his epistles, in 1 John, he's going against the Gnostics, and he makes this case that Jesus was the physical manifestation of God in every way. And he said, beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, our hands have touched concerning the word of life. Jesus is the perfect personal revelation of God. And being such, He shows us what God is like. If I have an interpretation of Scripture that contradicts what Jesus said or lived or revealed about God, then my interpretation's wrong. Jesus is the arbiter of truth. So if I have an interpretation of Scripture that contradicts something that Jesus said, either the Sermon on the Mount or other various teachings, I'm wrong, and I need to turn back to Christ, because Jesus revealed the Father perfectly. In Hebrews 1:1-3, God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the world. He is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholds all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Listen to the claim that the author of Hebrews is making here. God has spoken through His Son. He's heir of all things, and through whom He made the world. He is the brightness of His glory. That's what glory is. And so everything that God has revealed about Himself comes in the face of Jesus Christ. It's 2 Corinthians 4. And just because I'm here, I want to read it, because he makes a really great case for this. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. I'm not undermining Scripture when I say that Jesus is the perfect personal revelation of God. And it is through His person, His teaching, and His life by which I understand all the other writings as holy as they are. And then we read in Matthew 28, and Jesus spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So when evangelicals say, our final authority is the Bible, our final authority is Jesus. And by that, I understand the authority of the Bible. The Bible has authority in my life because of Jesus. Jesus, by promoting a Christocentric hermeneutic, I'm not undermining Scripture. I'm actually understanding Scripture to its fullest extent in the personal revelation of God found in Jesus. And John seems to be making the case in his gospel that Jesus keeps saying, hey, I'm saying the things that my Father told me. I'm doing the things that my Father does. What you see me doing, the Father's doing. And he's making this picture, not just that he is God, but that he is the perfect revelation of the Father. Over and over and over. In John 5:19, 5:27, 7:17-18, 7:28, 8:42, 12:49, 14:10, 17:2, and it can go on. Jesus keeps saying, when you look at me, you see the Father. What the Father's doing, I'm doing. What the Father says, I say. And that's very important, because if I want to get to know the Father, I need to listen to Jesus. And when I want to hold the book that God inspired, I must understand it through the person of Jesus. So through the Scriptures, we come to Christ, but through the life and teachings of Christ, the Scriptures are illumined. And I love Hebrews, where it says, it talks about Scripture being a two-edged sword. If the Scriptures are a two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, then Jesus is the one who wields that sword. Now I'm going to read to you Hebrews 4:12-13. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature that is not revealed in His sight, for all things are bare and exposed to the eyes of Him whom we must give account. The Word of God is alive and active, and it's alive and active because it's illumined by the Word of God, the Logos of God, as revealed in Jesus. So we're in no way undermining the Word of God when we say that the Logos of God is the lens by which we interpret the Scriptures. In fact, again, we're giving the basis for the authority of the Scriptures in the life of the disciple of Jesus. All true interpretations of Scripture come through the life and teachings of Christ, and thus all true faith must have Christ as its center.